Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 11, Lord Ramachandra Rules the World, Text 21. Yasyam alam ripasadu shu yashaduna pi. Kayant yaga ghanam rishayo drig ibendra patam. Tamna kapala vasupala kiriti dushta. Padam budam rakapatim sharanam prapadye. Translation. This is actually no purport. Lord Ramachandra's spotless name and fame, which vanquish all sinful reactions, are celebrated in all directions. Like the ornamental cloth of the victorious elephant that conquers all directions. Great saintly persons like Markandeya Rishi still glorify his characteristics in the assemblies of great emperors like Maharaj Yudhisthira. Similarly, all the saintly kings and all the demigods, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, worship the Lord by bowing down with their helmets. Let me offer my obeisances unto his lotus feet. Text 22. Lord Ramachandra returned to his abode in which bhakti yogis are promoted. This is the place to which all the inhabitants of Ayodhya went after they served the Lord in his manifest pastimes. By offering him obeisances, touching his lotus feet, fully observing him as a father-like king, sitting or lying down with him like equals, or even just accompanying him. Purport. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, 4:9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyakva deham panar janma naitimam eti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this mature world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Here, this is confirmed. All the inhabitants of Ayodhya, who saw Lord Ramachandra as citizens, served him as servants, sat and talked with him as friends, or were somehow or another present during his reign, went back home, back to Godhead. After giving up the body, the devotee, who becomes perfect in devotional service, enters that particular universe where Lord Ramachandra or Lord Krishna is engaged in his pastimes. Then after being trained to serve the Lord in various capacities in that Prakrata Lila, the devotee is finally promoted to Sanatana Dhamma, the supreme abode in the spiritual world. This Sanatana Dhamma is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Parastasmad tu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana. One who enters the transcendental pastimes of the Lord is called Nitya Lila Pravishta. To understand clearly why Lord Ramachandra returned, it is mentioned herewith that the Lord went to that particular place where the bhakti yogis go. Impersonalists misunderstand the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam to mean that the Lord entered his own effulgence and therefore became impersonal. But the Lord is a person and his devotees are all persons. Indeed, the living entities like the Lord are persons and were persons in the past. They are persons in the present and they will continue to be persons even after giving up the body. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Here it talks about going back to the spiritual world and the process of doing it. At least as Bhagavad Gita, we theoretically should accept that it was Krishna is speaking it and that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. we don't have to either blindly accept it or do it, we shouldn't blindly reject it. That Krishna says, I'm God, we just have to theoretically accept it. And with that, the Prabhupada says, that submissive hearing, then we could try to follow Krishna's directions and see what the result is. If he's God, then the result should be favorable. And if he's not God, we probably wouldn't get very much results. Therefore, we have to at least theoretically accept. Similarly, most of us can't remember being in the spiritual world, but at least we should theoretically accept that such a place exists, because the tendency is just to dismiss it as very unimportant. But if you're if you're homeless, and someone tells you your father lives down the block and he lives in a mansion, you'd probably be pretty happy about that. And you'd probably head in that direction to go to your father's house. Similarly, right now we're homeless, being in the material world. And we hear that our father, Krishna, he has a mansion. So at least we should be theoretically happy about that, that there is a home to go to. And then we might make some effort to go there. If we dismiss the spiritual world as insignificant and think that this world is the important world to make all our plans for, then of course we're not going to spend so much energy in order to go back to the spiritual world. And in order to do that, we have to at least understand some things theoretically first. To say that we're not this body is more than theory, because we can actually perceive that we're conscious, we have consciousness, we're a conscious living entity. While that material nature that we're surrounded by is unconscious. And due to the ever-present, ever-changing nature of the material world, it's all temporary. Whatever it might be, it's temporary. But we ourselves, we're continuously existing, therefore we're eternal. We're not affected by the material nature. As the body grows older, we're still the same person thinking I'm growing older, or at least becoming aware of the fact that the body is growing older, but we ourselves are the same person. We're not changing. And with a little intelligence, we can perceive that someone is supplying us remembrance, someone is supplying us knowledge, someone is helping us forget things. And that same person is in everyone's heart, giving everyone remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Therefore, with a little intelligence, we can perceive the super soul as well as our own selves, the spirit. Now, the super soul, he's always giving us remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. He never forgets. It's not that he wakes up one day and he forgets, well, he wants to sleep in, and therefore no one has any remembrance or knowledge and forgetfulness of that day. No, Krishna is constantly, he remembers who we are, because he can remind us. Like we ask, what's my name? And Krishna can remind us because he never forgets. Now we ask about someone else's name, we forget. Krishna hasn't forgotten, but we forget. But generally, at least Krishna, if we ask what my name is, then Krishna will at least tell us our name. Everyone else's name may not be qualified to remember. But Krishna remembers, because he could tell everyone what their name is. And beyond this material energy, there must be something else. God, who's all-pervading, as a spirit like we are, can't have as his only business is simply supplying or fulfilling the results of the desires of the living entities in this material world. That if he's so powerful, he can control the whole universe, he must have something else to do other than controlling a universe. There's things that are more fun than that. So there, if we're conditioned souls, there must be also liberated souls. And in that there must be a place for those liberated souls, and it's not necessarily just the material world. So Krishna must be there with those liberated souls, and those activities are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So at least theoretically, based on intelligence, based on our whatever degree of intelligence we have, at least theoretically we can accept the existence of ourselves as the spirit soul, the existence of a guide called the super soul, and a Bhagavan, Krishna, full of all opulence, the source of everything, where everything has come from. And then we can also accept there must be a place where ever liberated souls live with that Supreme Person, and they're doing something there. Now, if one is not conditioned by a material body, then there's nothing to worry about. Because if we realize we're eternal, we're not this body, then Prasanatma will become relieved of all our anxiety, material anxiety. And that's the beginning of real knowledge. Everything else, looking at the temporary world, we may give it labels and designations, this is that and this is this, and think we're gaining knowledge, but we're just gaining knowledge of the temporary manifestations of the creations, which will soon vanish, and therefore all this knowledge that we have will be useless, because whatever we think we have knowledge of won't be there anymore. What's the knowledge of, what's the value of having knowledge of the social life of unicorns? Because they're not around, so who cares about it? It has no practical value in our lives. Similarly, the material world only has practical value as much as we utilize it in Krishna service. Otherwise, it's simply we're giving names to things. If we go to the seashore and we listen to the waves coming in, they're also making sounds, but it's the babble of sea waves. It has no real meaning for our lives. At least it won't help us. Listening to the waves don't give us direction how to realize that we're eternal. Similarly, most of the sound we're hearing in the material world don't give us any realizations that we're eternal. They just describe the ever-changing material energy, of which is always going to change, whether they describe it or not. If someone looks through a telescope and finds a planet, Pluto doesn't change, nor do we change. Whatever Pluto was doing, whether we saw it or not, it was going to keep on doing it. And whatever we were doing, even if we didn't see Pluto, we keep on doing also. Similarly, most of the so-called knowledge in the material world is just a babble, on the same level as the babble of sea waves. But to hear about an eternal world where we can live forever in full bliss and with full consciousness, that should be a little bit more interesting, because that actually has some bearing to our eternal existence. After all this knowledge and whatever we may gain here, ultimately we have to give it up and we come back and we start from zero again. Therefore, as it says, one should try to become eligible to go back to the spiritual world. And there's a process, as it says, that tadnama rupachatadi sikirtananu smrityo kramena rasanam anasini oja tishtan vraje tanuragi jananu gami kalam naya akilam itipadesha saram. So I'm going to explain the essence of all advice. Anyone want to hear the essence of all advice? Yes. Two. Okay, that's good. The essence of all advice by Rupa Goswami is that one should utilize one's full time. So check your agenda today and see if you're using your full time and following the essence of advice. In nicely hearing and chanting about the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes. In this way, one should engage the tongue and the mind. One should live in Goloka Vrindavan, Braj, and serve Krishna under the guidance of the Lord's devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. So this is whether we're conditioned, whether we're liberated, the same process is there. We're trying to hear and chant about Krishna. We can't be disappointed. Oh, the world's a mess. Oh, everyone else is making mistakes. The sky is falling. What should I do? We should hear and chant about Krishna, going to Rupa Goswami. We don't have to worry about the sky. If it falls and hits us, at least if we chant Hare Krishna, we'll go to the spiritual sky. The spiritual sky doesn't fall down. So whatever is going on externally, whatever people are doing, whatever mistakes they're doing, at least if we follow Rupa Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami's advice, then we're doing the right thing. If you're a lemon, there's a kind of animal called a lemming, and every year the lemmings, supposedly, they commit suicide by running full speed over a cliff, falling to their death. So we're like lemmings. Everyone is running full speed to their destruction, and we think, well, I don't want to be different. People will criticize me. Let me run with them. And even if I fall to my death, at least people will think I'm a good lemon. No, one should keep on chanting Hare Krishna, even though people think, oh, it's not so good. Even our mind tells us, why are you wasting your time chanting Hare Krishna? And then one should serve Krishna under the guidance of the Lord's devotees. So our aim should be to please Krishna. That's why we're hearing chanting about Krishna, to please Krishna. So doing devotional service doesn't mean just using this body and doing different things. It means also to try to please Krishna and please his devotees. And the only way you can please Krishna's devotees is to follow their instructions. If a devotee says, please get some water, and we think, well, I'm going to get some lemon, some raspberry juice, the favorite example. Well, that's not following the instructions. All we do is have to get the water, and that should be good enough. Then we're trying to please, then we're doing what the devotee asks us to do, and therefore we're making spiritual advancement. It's not so complicated. It's called surrender. Surrender doesn't mean I'm going to fast for 3 weeks and then I'm surrendered. No, surrender means someone asks you to do something, we actually do it. And we're even more surrendered if we follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. We do it with care and attention. So at least we should hear and chant about Krishna, try to understand what is our aim in life, to serve Krishna under the guidance of his devotees, and then to try to do it with care and attention, to please Krishna and his devotees. Then our life is perfect. Then that's pure devotional service. Then we become eligible to go to the spiritual world. That's all. At the time of death, the Yamadutas come, the Vishnudutas come. They don't ask us 100 questions. What was the Aborigine woman, what did she have in her basket when she was coming to give Krishna, to barter? And afterwards, what did she have in the basket after Krishna glanced at her basket? Sorry. You can't answer the question, go back to the material world. What's that? Jewels. Gold, jewels. Whatever. Anyhow, maybe you'll get in. You never know. No, all they want to know is how much are we fixed in devotional service? Are we prepared to go to the spiritual world So then when we get there, we don't complain. We're not thinking, my God, I don't know who won the football game. Is there an internet connection here? You go through all the Chintamani palaces. Isn't there any electricity at least? I got to plug in my computer. I got to find out who won the football match. Sorry, if you want to find out who won, there's a plane going to pick someone up to bring to the spiritual world. You can go back with it. No, we have to be prepared to stay in the spiritual world and be happy there and not wonder what's going on back in the spiritual, in the material world. Who won the war in the Ukraine? When did the pandemic end? It's on my list of things to find out. No, we have to forget about everything else and simply be happy serving Krishna, whatever he wants us to do. And if he wants us to come back to the material world and spread Krishna consciousness, we're willing to do that also to please Krishna. And still hear and chant about Krishna here, still serve Krishna under the guidance of his devotees, and to serve the example and the instructions of the greatest devotees who are deeply attached to Krishna's devotional service. So that's an eternal process, whether here or in the spiritual world. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
This is question by Bhakti Yoga Tilburg. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your enlightening class. Question. About taking care of the body with intelligence. If one has a mental problem like trauma or depression, could one go to a psychologist like one with a broken leg goes to a hospital?
Well, I can't say because there are so many varieties of psychiatrists. Some of them are crazier than the people they're dealing with. They won't be able to help very much. Generally, most psychiatrists, it's like the last resort. All they do is prescribe psychotropic drugs, which make you dull like a vegetable. So it's good for everyone else because you won't cause so much trouble. But living as a vegetable is not very progressive. Better than running around doing disturbing things. But generally speaking, it won't help. Most psychiatrists won't help very much because they themselves need help. They think they're their body. Therefore, abhinivesha. They're also fearful of death, like everyone else. So how can they help anyone? How are they going to solve anyone's mental problems? They themselves have a lot of mental problems. And the people who made up these drugs, they have an even more mental problems than the people. Yes. Anything else? That's it? Grandaraya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.